Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju and I'm your host. This is the last episode with Carter. Hello, Carter, how are you?
Good, thanks for having me.
Thank you so much. And in this episode, I want to hear more about your perspectives on second generation. So my first question is, what kingdom potentials do second generation or third generation Asian Americans have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I honestly believe, and we talked a little bit about this concept, is being that bridge. And even when we talked about the first generation, being a bridge across culture, I mean, that has got to be the largest potential for the second generation, because they're living in a country that's American, but when they go home, it's Asian. And so what better potential for them than to be the bridges? And the bridges can come in different ways. It can come in ministries, it can come in cultures, it can manifest itself in various things. So I would say that would be the largest potential.
Mm-hmm. So in your ministry, in your church context, do you see how God is using your second gen folks for God's glory?
Yeah, I would say, you know, one of the things we touched on previously in the previous episode was around community involvement, right? So the idea that the first gen, due to cultural or language barriers or whatever it is, it is a legitimate barrier for them to be very involved in community work. And so that's where I feel like the second gen is this bridge into the community. And the way that our church has achieved that is the second gen is leading our community involvement ministries. So they go out and establish relationships with nonprofits. So for example, the church that we're at, the nonprofit that we work with the most is called Guichilin Cares. And they are a free clinic, free dental. They have cloak closets, they have food pantries. So they do a lot for the Guichilin County. And that's where our church is. And so our second gen are the ones that are going out, having relationships with them, establishing things that we can do and support. And when they figure all that stuff out, they come back to the church and tell the first gen and the second gen and say, hey, this is an opportunity, you know, let's get on board and do that. So what I found is the second gen is very open to going out. In fact, they crave working with the community. Like, they're very known for having a heart of justice. They are very known for being compassionate. They want to help people in their community. And many times they rat on the first generation and say, why aren't you leading and being a model for doing this? And they fail to realize that's not the gifting and the strength of a first gen. The strength of the second gen, you know, instead of complaining, you guys be the leaders in leading this. And so they've done that. They've established partnerships with nonprofits, and they are the ones that rally the church. And I have seen the first gen go behind them. You know, they, whenever they come up with opportunities for community involvement, the first gen is always the first one I will tell you to line up and say, I want to go and do things. Because first gen have no problem doing hard works, labor works, like they are good with that. So they will sign up to be part of the volunteer. And secondly, first gen, they are very frugal. And so they've saved up so much for their family, for their children. And many of them have, they're financially very well off. And so they have no problem contributing financially to nonprofits or to mission work or to things like that. And so I think that's how the partnership really works, is the second gen goes out into the community. They become the voice and the bridge. And the first gen comes alongside them in both manpower and with finances. So that's just one example with nonprofit partnerships. We also work a lot with other churches. So like, I am the bridge to a lot of our American brothers and sisters churches. And instead of saying, well, why doesn't the first gen go out to these other churches? Well, that's just not their strength. And so we go out, we build relationship with our area churches. And instead of pushing our first gen out, we bring the American culture, the American brothers and sisters into our church. So for the last couple of years, I had been doing like a summer series. I bring in pastors from all over Richmond to come in during the summer, and they preach messages. And so that's number one, our first gen get to see other pastors that they may not normally get to hear from or meet or hear about their church ministries. And so they get to do that. And then our second gen get to see, wow, you know, we can actually do that. We can be that bridge. to bring people into our church, and let our church first and second gen see the larger body of Christ. So where it would be hard for the second gen to go out, first gen to go out and talk to these pastors, it's way easier for the second gen to bring them into the church. And so this summer, I'm actually really excited about it. We have a Indian American pastor who's coming to talk about Indian ministries, because in our area of the city, the Indian population has just exploded. There's so many Indian restaurants, so many Indian grocery stores. My kids, their best friends are Indians. And so I'm bringing him in to talk to our church to see how we can reach out to the Indians. We have another gentleman who's part of a Fresh Expression ministry. He's a white guy, so he's going to come in and talk about how to do church in innovative ways. We have a lady who's going to come. She is the missional director for our local Baptist association. So she's going to come in and talk about mission work on how our church can be part of that. And so just bringing in a variety of speakers that are local leaders, that both our first and second gen church members can be exposed to. I think that's another bridge. So that's the ministry bridge, and then you got your community bridge. And I do honestly believe that is the power of the second gen. Instead of, you know, pointing fingers at the first gen and saying, why aren't you involved in America? You should say, you are born here. You are that bridge. Be the bridge between the American culture and your ethnic culture.
Wow, that's great. What kind of challenges do you see among second generations? What kind of challenges do they go through? Because they have so much potentials, but what really hinders them? What keeps them from the potential?
What keeps them from the potential? I think many of them, and I'm thinking about people in my church, many of them have this sense of not belonging. Which is really strange to me, because you would think someone who's born in this country would have a sense of belonging to the country. And so even the American-born Asians, you know, like I mentioned, the people who have married interracial marriages, even parents who adopt Asian kids, they have this sense of like, we visited all these churches, but we don't have a sense of belonging. And they somehow find that sense of belonging in the Asian church, the ethnic church. And so I think that's, number one, the power of the ethnic church, but that also becomes an impediment to the Asian Americans, because they kind of fall back onto the ethnic church and say, oh, I feel safe here, I feel connected here, and so they don't try anymore to be part of the larger American society and American culture. So I feel like that is one big challenge. It's just that sense of identity. And I grew up in Malaysia. I'm like fourth, fifth generation. So the culture that I was part of was, Malaysia is majority Muslim. I went to school, most of my friends were Muslims. My good friends were Muslims. The schools that I went to were majority Muslims. But when I went home, it was Chinese culture.
Right.
And so I've always felt that split in identity. And I think if you hang on too much to your ethnicity, it becomes an impediment. And so I think that is one of the traps, which is something that I'm still trying to navigate with sensitivity in our church, is the ethnic church is a place of refuge for those who have reasonable and legitimate needs. You know, they need a community they can have a sense of belonging to. But that can also be a trap, where you end up being that church is a ethnic church. It gets known to be an ethnic church. And that is a huge impediment, I think, for an ethnic church. We need to see ourselves as part of the larger body of Christ. And maybe the ethnic church is unique to that body. You know, the ethnic church might be the finger or toe or something, but we're part of a larger body, and so we can't just kind of hide in that church and not be part of the larger body of Christ. So I think that is something that all ethnic churches need to kind of be careful of, is we don't fall into our ethnicity as our identity, but we need to lean into our identity in Christ, and that defines who we are. So I would say that that is the biggest impediment, is identity, not clear about who we are. You know, we're not Chinese Christians, we're Christians, we're children of God. That Chinese part doesn't quite fit in there. Yeah.
Now, as a pastor, how do you disciple next generation, second gen, third generation Asian Americans?
Yeah, discipleship is always one-on-one. I really do believe that. And so kind of like the big message that the SBC is really pushing for in the next year or two or three or four is the idea of who's your one. Who's your one? And, you know, we can think, and even Pastor J.D. Greer talked about this. He's like, you can think programs, you can think this and that, but at the end of the day, discipleship is one-on-one. And that's been my method as well. It sometimes feels very slow because you're just working with one person or maybe a small group of disciples. But I do believe that is the most biblical way. And when we disciple, we really need to emphasize our identity in Christ. That's got to be first. The ethnic part, the second gen, first gen, all of that is a piece of who we are, and that is a unique place that God has put us in, and that gives us unique gifts and gives us access to people that other people would not have access to. But that shouldn't be the main focus of when we do discipleship. Discipleship needs to be gospel above all, for all people, all nations. And then the question is, how do we use the ethnicity to use that for our advantage, for the gospel?
Carter, this will be my last question for you. You're working with a lot of churches, not just your church, but also churches in Virginia. Yes. And also now you're working with several Asian American churches across the nation. So what have you observed first generation and second generation church leaders? What kind of trend have you seen, and what kind of questions or the solutions to the questions do you have?
Wow.
That's a big question.
It's a huge question. And I will say that this is something that I'm also trying to observe more and to learn more, because there are so many pastors out there that have done so much. And the church, I mean, a church that is 10 miles apart from each other can have a completely different culture. And so that's such a huge question. But I would say, for me personally, you know, what can we do? Number one is embrace your ethnicity, right? That God put you there for a reason. And the examples I gave, where we're reaching out to international students, we're reaching out to seasonal workers, those are things that only ethnic churches can do, because they can relate to these people. So embrace your ethnicity and use that for the gospel. And then secondly, I would say, be a part of the larger body of Christ, like SBC, like your local Baptist associations, like your state conventions. Like, be heavily invested in those kind of things, because that will, number one, get you connected to other pastors who can help mentor you. And then number two is get you connected to younger leaders who you can mentor. And so that idea of coming together as a larger body to really support each other is so important for us as a church. And so a lot of these things I'm talking about isn't specifically about ethnicity. It's just, how should a church operate in a healthy way? And then number three, I would say, be involved in your community, because we're called to be, you know, salt and light in your community. Don't be so focused on your ethnicity. Don't be so focused on church building and leadership and that kind of stuff that you forget about community. So work alongside churches, whether it's local churches in your community or nonprofits in your community, to reach out to people who need the light of Christ. And so I think if you can keep your focus on these three things and do them well, God will use our identity as ethnic churches for His glory.
Amen. Well, Carter, thank you so much for spending time with me, and then thank you for sharing your thoughts and perspectives. It's been great. Thank you so much. Listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode. episode.